You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
When someone seems to be invariably and uncontrollably happy, we wonder if something is wrong with him.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, fill our lives with real joy to replace our depression, our disappointment, our despair. Send the good news of your Son to lift us up and carry us forward with real forgiveness for the past and real life for the future, that all may have real joy now in the life you give and the life we can live with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. The Most Happy Fella was a play that opened on Broadway in New York City during 1956. It was an instant hit, playing for 676 performances. When it was revived only a little while ago, the curtain rang down after only 52 performances. It could not be sustained, even by such well-known songs as Standing on the Corner or Rosabella. Apparently, happiness is not all that it is cracked up to be. The fact is that depression is a good deal more common than happiness. A year ago, Reader's Digest had an article titled, Think Your Way Out of Depression. The editorial board of Reader's Digest probably had good reason for including an article on depression in its December issue. During the Christmas holidays, when everyone ought to be merry, happy, and thankful, more people have the holiday blues than holiday happiness. Happiness itself has become suspect. When someone seems to be invariably and uncontrollably happy, we wonder if something's wrong with him, if he has slipped a gear, if he's out of touch with reality, if he is on something. It's far more human and typical to be on the alert, uptight, and even vindictive, not to speak about being anxious. But happy? That is reserved for those rare times and places when people forget what life is all about. Not so, said St. Paul. Happiness is reserved for those times and places when you do realize what life is all about. Rejoice in the Lord always, he said. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That sounds like something from out of this world. Actually, it is. But that does not make it any less human or less real. This man, Paul, had plenty of reason to lean in the other direction. If anybody had reason to be depressed, he had it. His theme song might well have been Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen. His recital of personal and professional difficulties in his letter to the Romans makes us wonder at his willingness to stick at his commitment to Jesus Christ, to hang in there and endure the suffering that dogged his footsteps. He said he was shipwrecked, hounded out of town, whipped, hungry and thirsty, without shelter or adequate clothing. These were part and parcel of life to challenge his endurance, and ordinarily would have destroyed the tiniest bit of happiness he might have had. If he had been like most people, and even like many Christians, he would have gone around feeling sorry for himself and complaining about all the things he had to take in order to be such a good man. Instead, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "I think that God has exhibited us apostles as the last of all, like men sentenced to death, to become a spectacle in the world. But when reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we try to conciliate. We have become and are now as the garbage of the world. We are the scum of the earth." Paul said that not with a long face or whining tone, but with a light in his eye, a powerful, manly force of a herald standing on a high rock telling the world what it means to overcome. "The secret," Paul said, "is the Lord. Rejoice, and again I will say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Don't get panicky. Don't lose your composure. The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything. Let God know in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, whatever is on your heart. In that direction lie peace and joy, peace that passes all understanding, joy that will keep your hearts and your minds in rock-bound security through Jesus Christ." At this moment, Paul was saying goodbye to the Philippians. This is one of the captivity letters written while he was in jail. Rejoice indeed! Paul was getting to be an old man, and the burdens of his service to Jesus Christ and his witness to the truth of the gospel of Christ were taking their toll. He did not flinch from his problems, nor complain about his crosses. His parting word of advice to those Philippians, who, by the way, could expect the same kind of treatment if they remained faithful to Jesus, was, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And I'll say it again, rejoice. Show a gentle attitude toward everybody. The Lord is coming soon. No doubt there were a lot of crepe hangers around in those days, as there are today. Formerly, only preachers painted the scene in dark colors. But today, not only poets and philosophers speak that way, even newspaper reporters. Despair and gloom cover the news and the views of tomorrow. The problems of the world get bigger and bigger. Is there any room at all for the most happy fella? One of the reasons there is so little joy around is that people try artificially to induce happiness. There are all kinds of pharmaceutical solutions to the problems of life, to help us over our melancholy, our depression, our sadness, our despair. Uppers and downers, tranquilizers, or as one of the elderly saints used to call them, happy pills. Many people all over the world look to alcohol for relief from boredom or loneliness, from frustration or desperation. Advertisements at Christmas time all over the world suggest that road to happiness. Medication and alcohol are not the only paths with a false glitter. There's also a wide variety of religious cults which smoothly lead their adherents into the foggy reaches of perpetual meditation and programmed piety. Glassy eyes and frozen smiles attest the unreality and impermanence of such artificial mind-over-matter joy. No amount of religion, no matter how practiced, is going to save anybody. With the same blank wall and dead end confronting everyone who tries to solve his problems all by himself. The ends thereof, the Bible says, are the ways of death. Or as the prophet Amos said to all that glittering civilization with ivory beds and fancy religion, prepare to meet your God. Paul was given to more than superficial religious expression. He was talking about faith. Faith in the living God who sent his Son as a gift that simply cannot be described. His Son was born as a human being in an out-of-the-way place, in a stable kept for the animals of travelers who were staying at the inn, to be exact. The innkeeper said there was no room for them in the inn. As Martin Luther once pointed out, of course there was room in the inn, but nobody would give up his room for a woman who was about to bear a child. Of course, if we had been there, we would have done things differently, wouldn't we? There's a big question about that. Paul would have been the first one to admit that he would not have given up his room at that time. What changed him? Coming to know Christ as he is, and the power of his resurrection. He had to be struck down on the road when he was engaged in what he thought was doing God a service. Far from being an irreligious man, Paul was a mighty religious one. Then he came to know the difference between just being religious and having faith in Jesus Christ. The difference between trying to make it on your own and being put right with God through repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. A world of difference between what most people think of as life and what really is life. Coming to know Christ, Paul became the most happy fellow. The joy welled up within him, even at those moments when other people despair. Paul was probably not always the life of the party, but there was in his being, in his doing, in his destiny, a thread of joy which could not be broken by suffering. He became the most happy fella who can rejoice in suffering because he sees in it the opportunity to share in Jesus' suffering for the world. He rejoices in hope, sure and certain of what Christ has done for him. He rejoices with those who rejoice, and he weeps with those who weep, finding joy in helping and healing the hurts that everyone experiences sometime or other in life. Paul became the most happy fella when he realized that he was forgiven. He had a lot to be forgiven. He said he was not really fit to be called an apostle because he had persecuted the church of God. He was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a nasty man. That's what he said himself. For all of that, he was forgiven by the very one whom he had persecuted, the one whose voice came to him out of a light brighter than the light of the sun. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Paul asked, who are you, Lord? The answer came swiftly and clearly, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Don't tell me that it doesn't make any difference what you believe. It makes all the difference in the world. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The film of glamour, of respectability or self-righteousness that people build up around their empty hearts won't stand up in the end. Not many are fooled by it, but certainly God is not deceived. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That is the ultimate law of life. Paul said that. He learned it for himself, along with the great good news that forgiveness is the best gift that anybody can ever receive. And that comes from God alone. It comes in his Son, Jesus Christ. For that Christ came, and for that Christ died. For that Christ rose again from the dead, that repentance for sin and forgiveness for sin might be proclaimed in his name to all nations. If faith in Christ is the product of what he did, then joy, unbelievable and unexpected, is the byproduct of what he did. It is not manufactured, and it cannot be manipulated. It is given, and it has to be received as the gift it is, an integral part of God's own great gift of his Son, whom he has declared to be the Son of God with power by resurrection from the dead. Christ died for you, and Christ is alive for you. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I'll say it, rejoice. The Lord is at hand. He surely is. Have no anxiety about anything, but let your requests be made known to God through prayer and supplication, not forgetting to be thankful. There goes the long face. With thanksgiving. Never yet did I see anybody who could be thankful with a long face. A pastor told me about a man whom he met and remembered because of the joy this man had in his soul. He was a bus driver in a large city. For 21 years, he manned a city bus. When he began driving a bus, his fellow drivers warned him that he would soon be just as frustrated and crabby as they, for a whole lot of reasons. Poor buses, inconsiderate passengers, bad weather, lousy working conditions. Well, it didn't happen to this man. The Lord has been good to me, he said with a smile. I like my job, and I make friends with thousands of interesting people. I get along with the other bus drivers, and I have a wonderful family. Yep, the Lord sure has been good to me. Obviously, that was more than just talk. You can't be a bus driver and just talk that way. There has to be something inside that is genuine and true. The most happy fellow turns out to be a man just like Paul. The Lord has been good to me. Paul said it in jail, and this man said it on a bus. Last year, President Carter of the United States turned out the lights on the White House Christmas tree because of the national concern for the hostages in Iran. With all respect, let me say that was the wrong time to turn out the lights. God slices through the darkness of our despair and hopelessness to send up a light that the darkness cannot keep down. That light shines brightly with a Father's love and chases away all the doubts and the despair. Jesus is the light of the world and the light of everyone who comes into the world. Come what may, he won't abandon you, won't forget you, and won't leave you to your own designs or even to your own despair. The Lord is at hand. Rejoice in the Lord always. That finally is what it takes to be the most happy secretary, musician, office worker, businessman, housewife, student, or neighbor. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will stand guard over your heart and mine too, in Christ Jesus. Amen.